take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here for our service this morning. We are blessed to be together and blessed to be forgiven, for the Lord is truly faithful in his forgiveness and his love towards us, and we give him thanks and praise for what a wonderful and loving God he truly is. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us for our service. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you as well as you listen in. And we begin our service this morning with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 839, O Christ, our true and only light. We'll sing that hymn together this morning, and we do invite the congregation to please stand if you're able on the last verse of the hymn this morning. Thanks for joining us today, and the Lord's blessings to you as we receive his gifts and offer him our prayers and our praise and gifts. Let's sing together hymn 839.
Thank you.
Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God,
have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 135. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. We continue with our Kyrie sung this morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Numbers in the 11th chapter of that book, where we find the children of Israel, let's just say dissatisfied, to put it lightly. We begin in verse 4 of Numbers 11. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you swore to give their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord, Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson from the book of James, the 5th chapter. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will heal the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand if you're able for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We invite the congregation now at this time to join us in confessing our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for this morning? That's hymn number 506, Glory Be to God the Father. Let's sing. Amen. Nothing better than hearing the church sing glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings, the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, and the one who forgives us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Forgiveness. We talk about it all the time. At church, anyways. Pray that it's a normal conversation for you, other places, not just here, but also in your homes, in your businesses, and everywhere you go. Forgiveness. It's a lovely word, isn't it? Just think about it for a second. It's a lovely, lovely word. To hear the words when you need to hear them, these words, I forgive you. Those are beautiful words. Those words have attached to them peace. They have attached joy and all the other blessings of God attached to those words. I forgive you. I say this sort of in jest, but have you ever been wrong? Have you ever been just, I mean, blatant, run over kind of wrong? And you know that you are. Of course you have. Of course I have. We all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. And in relationships, sometimes that shows, right? And we are at times, yes, just plain old-fashioned wrong. But have you ever been wrong and not wanted to admit that you were wrong? Have you had that experience? It's amazing what goes on inside of us, right? When we kind of know we're wrong, but it's especially hard to admit it. Let me give you something else to double down a little on that. It gets even exponentially harder when someone calls you out on the fact that you're wrong. It gets really hard. Our defenses go up, and sometimes our minds in those moments are just completely working against us because they start rationalizing why we were right. Ha ha, to be wrong. Ever seen that? Experienced that? Me too. Our minds start justifying and making all kinds of excuses. At least I had a good enough reason, we'll say. We think that might bail us out. Make what we did or didn't do in the situation where we're wrong okay, but it doesn't. You know, the Bible has something else that we can do when we're wrong. Something that God gives us by His Word. Another option. This option has nothing to do with rationalizing, and nothing to do with justifying, and nothing to do with avoiding. Oh, you know another thing that we do? When we see our fault, we attack. We attack others, especially if someone's bringing up the fault. They're showing it to us. They're like, hey, look at you, right? We attack. Both barrels, full bore sometimes. We quick pivot in our minds and call out something else that's wrong. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We're really proficient at this. It's incredible. And the most amazing thing is that nobody gave us a class on this. We never attended a lecture or a series of lectures in which they said, okay, here's how you should rationalize and justify and avoid and attack others when you're accused. Nobody taught us. We just innately know how to do it, and do it very, very efficiently. It's kind of amazing how we'll wiggle and wiggle and slither and slide to avoid fault. Even when deep down, inside there's a fearful and haunting feeling that we know that we are wrong. Even then, it's just easier to avoid it. But the Bible, back to the important stuff again, has another option for us. It's very different than all of the ways that we naturally know. In our reading from the Epistle of St. James this morning, in verse 16 of chapter 5, the scriptures tell us exactly what to do when we're wrong. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." That what may be healed? Well, your relationship, yourself on the inside. Because when we're guilty of something, we get super secretive. Super secretive. We hide our shame. We hide our guilt, like our first parents in Genesis when they were found guilty of eating of the tree they weren't supposed to eat of. What did they do after they got done with their self-evaluation? They went and hid from God, the one who loved them and created them. The last thing we want to do is tell somebody. It's also kind of funny that the last thing we want to do is the first thing the Bible asks us to do. Isn't that interesting? Confess your sins to one another, the scripture says. Tell it. Speak it. Why? Because it unloads you and me to confess our sins. We've all experienced this, right? When we finally get to that place in whatever argument we may have been in, and maybe stood up for ourselves and we shouldn't, and maybe said some things that we shouldn't to somebody else, and got frustrated and gotten mad, and maybe even brought somebody else into it. And then finally we realize, okay, I better see if I could straighten this out, I guess. And we say, "I'm sorry, I did this or I did that." And the person hears us. And as a Christian who knows the word of Jesus, who Jesus has put his word into their heart, and it's in Matthew chapter 6 that if anyone repents to you, you have to forgive them. In fact, Jesus goes so far to say, what? That if you do not forgive those who sin against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your sins. That's the kind of leverage he has on this, and he uses it. So we say, "I'm sorry." And the person with the word in their heart, knowing that they're also a sinner who makes mistakes, empathize and understand. Think of that moment when that's taking place between two individuals. And then after you say, "I'm sorry," then you get to hear these wonderful, beautiful, dripping with gold sort of words. "I forgive you." Those words mean something awesome. That means it's gone. It's all okay again. We don't have to hide anymore. We can stop being defensive. We can stop our pretending. And don't you just love hearing those words? "I forgive you." God doesn't want to leave us in our guilt, friends. He doesn't want that for you or me. He doesn't want sin hanging over our head and haunting us each and every moment of the day and night, past sins or present sins. He doesn't want it because guilt is a very, very dangerous reality. It all starts with a sin, right? And that sin then leads us over into guilt. And that guilt brings something else. That guilt leads us back around the circle to something called shame. And then that shame leads us where? Back to sin. Guess this is who I am. Woe is me, back to sin again. And round and round and round the cycle continues. Sin, guilt, shame, over and over and over. And in the middle of this circle is our rationalizing and our justifying and the ways we're trying to make it all okay. So what does God teach us and what does he tell us? He says, confess your sins. Confess your sins in your home, in your business, in your relationships, in your family, in your workplace, in your church, everywhere. Confess. That's the only way we'll get to hear those wonderful words. I forgive you. That's the only way the cycle gets broken. That's why Jesus, one of the reasons he comes and dies on the cross and resurrects is to break us out of this, what the scriptures call bondage, in this reality of sin, guilt, shame, sin, guilt, shame. What breaks the cycle? Forgiveness breaks us out, because then it can't go back. It can't keep going. But this is something that is an observation, that when the scripture tells us confess your sins to one another, we hear it, right? Yeah. But how often do we do it? And what I mean is, how often do we confess our sins and actually speak them out loud? For most, the game is in the mind. The thoughts are in the mind. They never leave the mind through the mouth. They just stay up here. They keep them silent. Brothers and sisters, never keep your guilt silent. It wants to rot you from the inside out. It wants to destroy us that way. Luther writes that when we teach that we should confess our sins, it's nothing more than being a Christian. True. And that the doctrine, he says, of forgiveness is the most important of all. We bear with each person in our lives, and they bear with us as Christ bears with us. This is being a Christian. And it's amazing how we won't speak our sins out loud. We just don't want to do it. I mean, it really just boils down to that. That's why our church has what's called private confession. Private confession and absolution. In our Lutheran confessions, it says that private confession and absolution should not fall into disuse in our churches. Private confession makes sure that there's always someone to hear our confession of sin. Always. That's the goal. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be able to speak and confess our sins to one another, that we may hear Christ's beautiful, dripping, glorious words, I forgive you. He gives these words to us again this morning. No matter what it is, look with me just for a second up at the cross. No matter what it is, his cross speaks to you this message when you see it. I forgive you. So you can live and I can live in peace and in security. Because sin is weird. Sin is, it sticks around. And most of the time we just compartmentalize and our minds kind of push it away. Like, oh, no. And then it shows up again. And then there's the guilt and stuff. And we're like, no, I shouldn't think this. And there's the guilt. And then we try by our own powers to say, nah, it doesn't matter. But it's always affecting us. Those sins, that guilt from the past, it can drive our lives in decisions in different directions that it shouldn't go. So God wants us to speak our sin out loud. I know that's a heavy thing to think about. Confess your sins to one another. I mean, that's what we have to do in our relationships, right? If we have a problem in a relationship with somebody else, we eventually going to say we're sorry. We have to say, have you ever been in that situation with somebody? You say, I'm sorry. They say, sorry for what? Sorry for what? They want to know, right? You have to speak it to them, and when they hear it, they can forgive. God wants us to be able to do that same thing in regards to Him. That's why you have a pastor. One of the main reasons you have one is so that God can unload that conscience. And it's the reason I have to have somebody too. No different. And here's the thing, I don't know if you know this, but if you don't, I'm going to tell you. Pastors can't tell anyone what's confessed to them. We take a vow. We call it the seal of the office. And what that vow means is that we will not speak any sins divulged to us ever. That everything that's spoken to us will go to the grave with us. It will never be mentioned again. It will never come across our lips. A court of law cannot require a minister to speak those things. No matter what they are, or what's happened, the seal of the office. And that's on purpose so that we are able to confess our sins to one another. We're able to unload stuff. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sins in our prayers to our Heavenly Father, they are forgiven. You don't have to come to the pastor to give forgiveness. Don't misunderstand. But some of those sins stick around. Some of those sins cause us to doubt whether or not we're really forgiven, whether or not God really heard our prayer. Are we okay now? Is everything good? We keep asking that, and then they keep showing back up. Friends, God has an avenue. He has this other option, this thing that's nothing like us, that He says we can do. And it's a gospel message. Because here's what is the most amazing part. Knowing that we've made a mistake or that we've sinned or that something we've done something or left something undone, just the knowledge of that and the desire to confess a sin, it doesn't come from you. And it doesn't come from me. That is God at work in you and me. When we see that, when we recognize that, when we're able to behold sin in our lives, that's an awesome blessing from God the Holy Spirit. He shows us that through His Word. It's incredible. When we need to confess, that's God at work. That's His faithfulness. See, we get down on ourselves and we say, oh no, this is terrible. What am I supposed to go tell somebody else this? Oh my gosh, this is awful. It's a blessing. It's an unloading. It's a salvation. The people in the scriptures did it. The scriptures tell us to do it. Think of John the Baptist at the Jordan River in the early chapters of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 3, they were baptized by John in the River Jordan, confessing their sin. And where was John's work or God's work through John leading the people? Where does confessing our sin, even today, still lead us? To Jesus. That's where it was leading. And His forgiveness. It's the work of God in our hearts when we feel that we need to confess. Because He's literally leading us to Christ so that we can be free from the bondage. So if you've ever been wrong, rejoice if you can see it. It's God showing us and leading us to freedom in the gospel. This morning, after our church service, I'll be up here if anyone has something that they need to confess. If you come into the church and there's somebody up here with me, just wait a few minutes, stay in the back. When that person leaves, feel free to come in and come up behind them after they're gone. Just be up here for a few minutes, not putting pressure on anybody, just offering you the opportunity. If there's some sin that won't leave you alone, God has an amazing way, a miraculous way of dealing with it. Confess your sins to one another. His word and his blessing are powerful. And let me let you hear it one more time. Here's his word. I forgive you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayer this morning is, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you've done for us and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, grant your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that they, by their devoted service, may see that you're the one at work, strengthening them in their faith, that it's not about them, it's about you, that faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy, send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel, both at home and in distant lands, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, in your mercy, strengthen newly established congregations wherever they might be. Support them and all of your people in challenging times. Make them steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord. And let their faith and zeal for the gospel be refreshing and a renewal for your people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, preserve our nation. Preserve it in justice and honor, that we may lead peaceable lives with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of Colorado, and to all those who make and administer our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, take from us all hatred and prejudice, and give us the spirit of love, and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavors may be increasing among all people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, centers of research, and those who teach and work in them. Especially, we ask your blessing upon our school here at Trinity. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, sanctify our homes with your presence. Bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism, and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in spirits of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and all the world. Lord, in your mercy, let your blessing remain upon the seed time and the harvest, the commerce and industry, leisure and rest, the arts and culture of our people. Take under your special protection those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and be with all who put their hands to any useful task. Give them just rewards for their labor and the knowledge that their work is a blessing in your sight. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort those who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Especially we name before you this morning Anna, Susan St. Cyr, Irene, Monter Chadwick, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Kenny Rodman, Dick Reitz, Donna Erke, Richard Lynch, the family of Pastor Chris Gertes, Janice Ross, Betty Paulson, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Jasmine Cody, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, we remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you in your church on earth and now rest from their labors. Lord, keep us in the fellowship with all your saints and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom. For all things that we need and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the time in our service where we have an opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of the things that he's blessed us with in our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we invite you to sing hymn 663, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray. We're singing stanzas 1, 4, and 5. They're printed for you there in the bulletin.
Thank you.
If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings in Christ Jesus upon your coming days. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in our bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
him
thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us now as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern